Well, we got Barry Ritholtz in the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. So when you have Barry in studio, you can go a million and one ways. Of course, Barry is the Bloomberg opinion columnist and host of Masters in Business on Bloomberg Radio. Also the founder, chairman, and chief investment officer of Ritholtz Wealth Management. I want to start off, Barry, with the deal of the day, Morgan Stanley buying E-Trade. You're a money manager. What do you make of this deal?
So E-Trade is in what we generally think of as a small account, low revenue, low margin business. However, their clients have a ton of money. It's $360 billion in client assets. So really the question is, and Morgan Stanley is nearly $3 trillion. The question is, can Morgan Stanley take that nearly $400 billion in assets, that's low margin, transactional business, and convert it into a higher yielding, higher fee business? And I honestly can't answer that question. I think that's a really challenging transition to occur. If they pull it off, hey, it's a lot of money, but it seems pretty pricey at $13 billion.
And that seems to be what people are implying with the decline in Morgan Stanley's share price today, just that perhaps the valuation isn't exactly where it ought to be. But there is a question about that conversion. Is this just cross-selling?
I don't know. You know, we've seen the supermarket, the financial supermarket attempts. Nobody is really happy with it. I don't want to get a phone call from my bank selling me insurance. I don't want to get a phone call from my insurer selling me investment products. I think the iPhone is a camera. It's a music player. It's a video recorder. It does all these wonderful things. It's great to have all those in one device. When it comes to financial services, I don't really see the public, especially the high net wealth investor, the big end to companies like Morgan Stanley, the more desirable, valuable accounts. I don't think they want to be cross-sold. That really, to me, it's less about cross-selling and more about, can we convert some of this or all of this $360 billion into higher-yielding asset management business?
All right, Barry, let's switch gears, which we can do with you. You recently sat down with Paul Krugman, Nobel-winning economist and columnist at the New York Times. What did you two guys talk about?
So, full disclosure, I know Krugman for, I don't know, 15 years. Like, just one of those weird New York things where you kind of meet people and you become friendly with. I literally was recording something. I don't even remember who it was for. And on the way out the door of this radio studio in Midtown, I plow into him and my papers went flying. And when
I can picture this, by
right?
The way,
you,
Barry,
can, you know
this
me.
Is,
I
this
move,
is not surprising.
I walk into walls and I move way too fast. And
right there with you.
I'm picking up the papers and I look up and it's him. And I'm like, oh, Professor Krugman, I just quoted you on the radio. He who the gods seek to destroy, they first put on the cover of Business Week, is the quote I had used. So we kind of started, this was pre-Nobel, we kind of started chatting. And I host these dinners a couple of times a year where there's no agenda. Let's just get eight really interesting people in a room and have an interesting conversation. And he's a regular at those dinners. He always has something fascinating to say. We talked about how he went from somebody that Newsweek called an ideologically colorblind to not only owning some of the most valuable real estate in the New York Times opinion section, but morphing into a hardcore partisan. And the great irony of this is his online persona, what he is like as a writer, is nothing what he's like as a person. He describes himself as a pussycat. And really, in real life, that's who he is. The writing is much more aggressive and in your face and sharp. He happens to be an outstanding, persuasive writer. But he also is definitely partisan, and he People either love him or hate him. There's no in between.
One thing that he has owned is the bad name that economists have gotten post-2008, the idea that they didn't forecast this and that they got a lot of things wrong. And there is a question now, as people expect the Federal Reserve to drop rates and as people look at the U.S. economy as chugging forth, you know, what is the credibility here of economists saying that we still have steam left despite the fact that we're late cycle and despite the very high valuations and asset prices?
So he wrote a really interesting article for the New York Times Weekend Magazine section, dividing the world of economists into freshwater and saltwater economists. Saltwater being the people at Harvard, MIT, Yale, NYU, Columbia, Stanford, and Berkeley, and freshwater being Chicago and anywhere away from the coast. And he said, when you look at the radical free marketers, the people who think the market is perfectly efficient, the people who think tax cuts pay for themselves, they seem to have gotten it wrong. The people who were on the coast, the saltwater economists, didn't get it perfect, didn't get it right, but he was one of the people warning about a coming crisis in 06, 07. There were some other economists at Berkeley, I'm drawing a blank on his name, at MIT, at Harvard, who basically said, something is strange things are afoot at the Circle K. This can't continue. And we know that things can't continue eventually don't continue. That was kind of an interesting discussion. We also talked about he's been a lot more right than he's been wrong about a lot of big issues. And to his credit, when he's wrong, and he says he's wrong a lot, when he's wrong, he will try to admit it as soon as possible. He said he was wrong about Trump not winning. He was wrong about Trump causing a recession. And he was wrong about Trump causing a market crash. All of our three things that he said. And in each case, he had walked those back within a relatively short period of time. And I always give credit to people who say, hey, I get things wrong all the time, and here's what I've learned from them.
Barry Ritholtz, thank you so much for being with us. Barry Ritholtz is a Bloomberg opinion columnist and host of Masters in Business on Bloomberg Radio. Also, of course, founder, chairman, and chief investment officer of Ritholtz Wealth Management, joining us here in our Interactive Broker Studios. I love that idea of walking into a party and seeing Paul Krugman say, there are two kinds of economists in this world. They're freshwater economists and they're the saltwater economists.
I like it.
I'm saltwater, and they tend to be right.
By the way, I'm flying back on a plane the other day, and I'm scrolling through my downloaded Netflix videos, and there is Get Him to the Greek, which I haven't seen in, I don't know, 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So I start watching it. I forget that he has a cameo in it with Jonah Hill, and it's absolutely hilarious.
All right. Well, you can put that in your Netflix schedule.